You can be seated, and you can also open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 2, in our study. And by God's grace, we'll cover the first 12 verses. I don't know if you remember this. In fact, this morning, I've been asking people, and I've had Guy go around asking people if they can remember. Way back, I was a little tiny guy. There was a program that about that big. A program, I think, that was entitled To Tell the Truth. There was a show, if that's the title or not, I don't exactly remember, but there was a program where they had these guys sitting at that panel desk, and the audience was out there, and maybe they had the glasses on, or maybe they had the same kind of suit or whatever, and they're all sitting there, and there was the MC, and he would be asking them questions, and the whole thing was a show of deception, remember? You were listening to the program, and they were all responding like, Andy, Chris, you know, where do you work? And so Andy, Chris would say, I work at, you know, Rockwell Aerospace. And they would ask the next guy who was supposed to be Andy, Chris, you know, where do you work? And you'd say, well, I work for the postal company. And you were supposed to decipher which one of the guys was the imposter and which one of the guy was the real true Andy, Chris. Remember that program? Any of you? And I think it's called To Tell the Truth, but one of them was an imposter. And we're looking at 2 Thessalonians 2 this morning, and we're going to talk about the imposter. But it won't be, will the real Andy, Chris please stand up? And remember how they would look at each other and kind of go up and down a little bit to see which one was going to stand up? No, it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. Will the real Antichrist please stand up? And the Bible tells us that on this world scene, not far from now, personally, as I study prophecy, love it, made it a study of my life, I personally believe the Antichrist is alive today in Europe, alive right now. I know some people are starting to even call out some names. I've heard some names recently about who he could be. Well, listen, we are going to be, I think, very, very comforted to know that I believe through the Scripture, it's very clear that those of us who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ are not going to know His name. Because the Scripture will tell us that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will not be revealed until the Holy Spirit steps aside, and of course the church will be raptured, and then we'll see this morning it says, shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume. Amen. With the brightness of His coming. I can't wait to see that from up there. Or maybe we'll be right alongside with them when that happens. But the Antichrist is going to come. And you might say, well, you know, I'm new to all this stuff, Jack. Well, who, what is the Antichrist? In the Greek, the word anti can mean instead of, or so instead of Christ, like an imposter, or in His place, like an imposter. The instead of Christ, the unchrist. With His un-cola and His un-this and His un-that. He'll be the un-Christ. And right now today in Israel and in Baghdad and in major cities of the world where Islam is entrenched and in Jerusalem where Judaism is entrenched, around the world there are people of those faiths saying that the Messiah is near. And there's a universalism going on about the Messiah. He's coming, He's coming. And everybody's getting excited about a global deliverer. I subscribe, and I have for the last couple of years, to The European. It's Europe's number one newspaper. And I get it once a week. And they have had articles in there for several years now about who is going to head up and lead the United States of Europe, the USE. And if I would have really been thinking, I'll do it for second and third service this morning, I have been blessed with a euro. And a euro is their latest coin from the conglomerate, from the union there in Europe, where the Antichrist, the Bible says, will come out of. And it's interesting, it says that part of his entourage in the book of Revelation is that there'll be a woman riding a beast, and that is a false religious system that will also come out of Europe, but it will be engulfing a global church, a very powerful, very liturgical, that is a very traditional church that is entrenched now in the world. And the Antichrist and what is called the false prophet will come onto the world scene and create a universal government, a universal religion, a universal life for everyone, a final attempt at socialism. And this Bible of ours tells us that this false prophet is going to ride upon this beast. And wouldn't you know that that euro coin, and by the way, the coin that I happen to have, it's worth $100 in U.S. currency. It's just a single coin, little, you know, not very big, maybe like the size of a silver dollar for us. And on that coin is a woman with stars around her, and she's got things embroidered in her hair, and she's riding on, I kid you not, I wish I could just kind of show it. You wouldn't be able to see it if I had it in my hand. So small. But she is riding an animal, and on the back, it's the rear end of a cow or a buffalo or a bison. It has an ox-type rear end. And it's extremely large-chested, breasted, chested, with legs that are stomping, and it's running with its head down, and it's got a horse's head on the front. But coming out of the horse's head is this tremendous horn. And she's riding on it, and her robes are flowing in the wind. And it says in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist will come on the scene with this false prophet, and it will be symbolized as a woman riding the beast. And she will be wearing scarlet robes. Well, she's covered in gold on this coin, but it's their latest currency, the euro, coming out of Europe. Isn't that interesting? It's like, hey, man, they must have read the book. It's almost too obvious. But maybe for some of you in this room this morning, it's not obvious to you. You're thinking, what is that? So what? Oh, man, hang on to your seats. Stay tuned. Next couple of weeks coming down with this prophecy series coming on and John Wolford being here, you're going to be blown away. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies. It'd be good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says here, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining or hindering, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness and unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusions so that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, the church at Thessalonica was very upset. We've been talking to you about these last couple weeks. They had been told by an imposter's letter and even an imposter's utterance. You see, they had been gathered together and Paul is warning them. In verse 2, he's saying, listen, I don't care what people utter in a service, what they say. I don't care if you even get a letter with my name on it. You guys need to remember what I told you when I was there a year ago, that the rapture, that's what 1 Thessalonians is all about, the rapture. You want to study the rapture? Read 1 Thessalonians. You want to study about the second coming and the tribulation period? Study 2 Thessalonians. Simple, easy to remember. The rapture comes before the second coming. He says, you want to know, you want to remember what I told you before, that the Lord will come in the air and rapture us up out of here. You see, they were told that the second coming was any moment now because they had in fact entered the great tribulation period because of all the persecution that was coming upon them. And they believed that now, or they had doubts about Paul's letter of deliverance, and now this contradiction of what's going on with what we're seeing, and this utterance, and now this letter that supposedly Paul's written, what's the problem? They were losing faith in what Paul had said. They were losing hope that God would deliver them from the wrath to come. And in fact, they thought that they were right in the middle of it. And they began to doubt and began to be fearful because somebody had in fact come close to setting a date. Remember this, we will not know the rapture of the church. Nobody knows the day or the hour of that. Nobody. In fact, date setters are upsetters. Remember that. I remember many years ago, there was a very well-known family. Some of you will remember this. There was a very well-known couple. They were called the Caruso family. Remember them? And very respected. They had a dream that Jesus Christ was coming back for the church, and they had this incredible vision of L.A. on fire because of earthquakes, falling into the ocean, the San Andreas Fault, all this stuff. And they were on radio programs all over the land. And they had this big conference, and I went out of curiosity. I didn't believe what they had said because nobody knows the day or the hour. But this guy set a date. And people were all shook up and all upset. And what happened? On that day, Jesus Christ didn't come back. You know, he couldn't come back on that day. Because Jesus says, in a day that you think not, and in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Hey, man, and people were hanging around going, it's today! And a lot of people's faiths were destroyed, by the way, because someone had a vision. And it was a lie. They were deceived. Paul is going to be talking about the second coming. He will allude several times to the rapture for comfort's sake, because this church was very, very upset because they thought they had missed that great event that they had been promised. And you might want to jot this down in your notes. Why were they so depressed? Why were they so disappointed? And I want you to write these down, and I want you to commit them to your memory. But I don't want you to come to this church and never take notes. If you don't take notes, you're lazy. You're just lazy. Well, you know, I think if I sleep with my Bible under my pillow, it's going to just kind of soak up into my head. Not. Jot it down. Why are we excited about Jesus coming back any second now? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says there, we are to wait. And by the way, that right there says, without warning, imminently, without a warning. We are to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath. It's God's indignation. It's a reference to the tribulation, not hell, not eternity, but the wrath to come upon the earth. That's a promise. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. That is a promise you can take to the bank. That's exciting news. Well, that's not all. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not ordained us to wrath, indignation, or tribulation, but to obtain salvation or deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a promise. I like these kind of promises. And Luke 21:36, Jesus just gets done describing the great, great cataclysmic events that will take place in the great tribulation period, the 7 years that are coming upon the earth of 3.5 years of tremendous financial and political deception and prosperity, but great deception. And then the last 3.5 years of great anguish and environmental insanity and judgment of God. Jesus gets done talking about that, and in Luke 21:36, He says, "Hey, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." And that's a reference to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where all of us believers will be. That's good news, to stand before Jesus. Jesus also says in the book of Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, "I will spare you from the time of tribulation, of hardship, of wrath that will come upon all the earth to try them who dwell on it. I'll keep you from that hour." That is a great promise. It's true. And then finally, this verse. A lot of people don't know about this verse. It's found way back in Isaiah. Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21, I believe, is one of the greatest pre-tribulation rapture verses in the Bible. And it's so unknown in the church today. Isaiah 26, 19. Isaiah prophesies, "Your dead shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise." That's called resurrection, people. That's called 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, "Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust and the earth, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. It evaporates in the morning. The earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers." By the way, they're wedding chambers where the groom takes his bride to consummate the marriage. Come, my people, enter into the chambers and shut the doors around you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the wrath is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins. Isn't that amazing? That's way back in the book of Isaiah. Jesus Christ is coming for His church. And when that happens, there's going to be a tremendous time of at least 7 years of great catastrophes and deception going on. But Paul is going to encourage them now. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together, we ask you this." So verse 1, you can say, concerning the rapture. You can just write it right down in your notes. Concerning the rapture. I want you guys to understand something he says here. Verse 2, don't be white-knuckled about it. That's what the word means. Don't be shaken or troubled. It means to have white knuckles. To be scared to death is what the word means in the Greek language. To be gripping one another with white-knuckled fear. You ever been that scared? I've been that scared. You ever been that scared where you had to go to the bathroom to make sure? Have you ever been that scared? I've been that scared. It's a weird feeling to be that scared. There's this adrenaline rush, and it's like you lose control. I almost crashed an airplane one day into a house at Fullerton Airport. I made a major mistake. And, oh, man! I remember just coming back and landing and just... I looked like a guy in a little electric football game. Remember that? Scared to death. Just, I tied down that plane and went straight to the bathroom. I'm not kidding. That's the same word here. They got this letter. We're in the tribulation. Now, people, listen. I don't care about what your view is right now. Your view is not important. Neither is mine. That's what the Bible teaches. You're talking about a church who had been promised by the Apostle Paul that they were going to miss it. Think about it. It's true. It's a fact. You can't deny it. So why are they so white-knuckled? And the word even suggests in the Greek that they were insane for fear. We've missed it. They're hanging out. Oh, we missed it. Where's the bathroom? It's a strong, radical word. I'm not exaggerating on this. They're freaking out. Why were they freaking out? Because they thought they had missed the rapture. How does that grab you if you hold another view to a mid or post-tribulation view? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying the Bible says you're wrong. No, listen. It's the imminent return of Christ any second now. But you can't say that about the second coming. Oh, second coming is at least 7 years away. I know that for a fact. The Antichrist hasn't even declared himself to be God yet. There's not even a temple built in Jerusalem yet. He can't come back in the second coming yet. Not true for the rapture. Any minute now. And the church thought they had missed it. And so they were absolutely wigged out about it. And Paul says, listen, don't be upset and white-knuckled over it. Let me tell you something. Calm down. So what does he say to them? Don't listen anymore by some, quote, spiritual revelation that somebody said in like a service there of yours. No, don't listen to that. And don't listen to some word that somebody says, or even a letter, he says in verse 2, as if it's come from us, that the day of Christ has come. Now listen, there is, some of your Bibles have in there, get your pen ready. If you don't feel comfortable with this, go get a Greek Bible and read it for yourself. It's not in the original Greek language, the day of Christ. In 1610, the King James translators put the day of Christ in there. The day of Christ is a good day for us. It is the day of the Lord in the original Greek. So you might want to just mark that in your Bible, the day of the Lord. He says, don't be soon shaken in your mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord, what is it? It begins at some moment after the rapture and it goes all the way through to the end of the millennium. It is at least 1,007 years long. It encompasses the 7-year Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, and it also encompasses the great millennial reign of Christ, where He will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years upon the throne of David, according to the Bible. That is the Day of the Lord. It has great judgment at the beginning and great blessing for 1,000 years, and then it ends again at the Book of Revelation, where it talks to you about the end of the millennium of great judgment again by the Lord. But not concerning us. And right here in the original Greek scripture, it is the Day of the Lord. And again, the King James translators put in the Day of Christ. They meant well, but it's not correct. And it makes a world of difference. So what is going on here? Well, in verses 1 and 2, we see that there's the hope of the rapture. He focuses them again on the hope concerning the rapture of the church. And you might be saying, well, you know what? I don't think it's all that close. Well, you are wrong, and I'll tell you the reason why. Romans says, Paul tells us in the book of Romans 13:11, Paul says, knowing the time, that now it is high time for you to wake out of your sleep, for now is your salvation nearer, closer than what it was before. And that's true. You know, we're another day closer. Today is August, what is it, 11th today? We are one day closer to the rapture of the church. What do you think of that? Aren't you glad? Feel better. I'll feel better today after this day is behind us. I can't wait. Can't wait. He's encouraging them. And that's a good thing. And why should we be excited about it? Because the Lord will come in the air. We will be raptured off this planet and meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will be fulfilling with the Lord, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Where in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Aren't you glad? Jesus always tells the truth. I'm going to go build you an awesome house. It's going to take me like 2,000 years to build this baby. And by the way, if I wasn't coming to pick you up, I wouldn't be telling you this stuff. Don't you hate that when somebody says, hey, I'll pick you up at 2. Okay, so we're there at 10 till, right? And you're waiting. And you're waiting. Now, they better have a good reason why they're late. I don't know how you are, but I just... be there early, you know? Why are they late? What's the deal? Jesus says, I'll pick you up. And He's going to pick us up. He's coming. He'll be here. Look at verse 3. In verses 3 to 5, we see this countdown to the second coming. This is interesting. Listen carefully. He says, don't let anybody deceive you by any means, by any way. Radio, TV, Awake magazine, the Second Testament. I have a new revelation from God. Listen, somebody knocks on your door or speaks in your church, I've got a new revelation. You better get your Bible out. Pull it out of its holster, man, and point it right at the guy and have it wide open. So what do you got to say? And it better line up with the Bible. You know what? God's like, there's 9 of them. You heard that one recently? Yeah, He said there's 9 of them now. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You can call me later. He's a big guy on TV. There's 9. God's 9. There's 9. There's 9. There's 3 Holy Spirits. He said there's 3 fathers and 3 sons. He said, there's 9 of them. This guy is the hottest selling Christian. Can you believe it? I'm getting just kind of sick going to say it. This guy is the hottest selling Christian author in America. And he's a heretic. Don't let anybody deceive you by any means. Paul's warned us. This guy's got a church that seats 10,000 people. And it's packed. Don't let anybody deceive you. But he's really funny. Don't let anybody deceive you. He's nice. Don't let anybody deceive you. He spins his jacket around in the air over his head, and it's really cool how he does that. Don't let anybody deceive you. There's 9 gods. Don't let anybody deceive you. Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you by any means. Why? Listen, for that day. What day? The day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first and the Son the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Two things are voiced right here in verse 3, and you need to understand them if we're going to be prophetically smart. The falling away is taught in two different ways. And I'm going to give you both of them, and I'm going to tell you that I think both are right. First thing is this. Some scholars believe that the falling away, because the word in the Greek is apostasia, it means a departure, listen carefully everyone, a departure from the faith or a departure of the faith. Apostasia. So Paul is saying, listen, the day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ, will not happen until, first of all, there is a falling away. And, number two, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. That's the Antichrist. That's one of his titles. So the second coming cannot come until there's a great either departure of the faith or a departure from the faith. And, number two, the Antichrist is revealed to the world, the son of perdition. Everybody got that? Very basic. You got it? Well, here's the interesting curveball. How do we interpret the apostasia? Well, the camps are divided. This gets exciting. Number one, it's true. It means that before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a massive departure from Christianity. People are going to be leaving Christianity. They're going to be giving up on their faith and walking out on Christ. They will fulfill Matthew 13, where Jesus said, "These are they who believed for a while. But when hard times or persecution comes, they go back into the world." And what if you're one of those people? Doesn't that just kind of drive you nuts? I don't want to be one of those people. It scares me to death. Will I someday give up? Will I cash it in? Will I say, you know, I've been a Christian for 7 years, and you know what? The world just looks so good, I'm just going to go play with that for a while. That scares me to death. I don't trust myself. And I know you don't trust yourself. Oh, Jesus, you pray, keep me close. God, keep me close. Keep us usable, Lord. Keep us in your will. So the falling away does mean a departure from the faith. That's true. But it also means a departure of the faith. And some scholars interpret it this way. Don't be deceived. The second coming cannot happen until, first of all, the church, the faith, the faithful ones have departed. They're out of here. And then the son of perdition will be revealed. I think both of those interpretations are exactly correct. I really do. Because both are true, and both will happen according to that sequence, according to Scripture. It's very interesting. He says in verse 4, this man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. This is the man coming out of Europe. If you read Daniel, read the book of Daniel, get the tapes on Daniel, or get a good commentary on Daniel and the book of Revelation. And you'll learn all about this guy. Book of Zechariah. Zechariah will tell you, by the way, one of the ways that the people who are on the earth at that time will be able to identify this man is that there will be an assassination attempt made against the Antichrist. And he's going to be struck in the head, either by a bullet or by some instrument. And it says that his right eye will go blind and his right arm will be withered. But that will be the effects only after he appears to be dead. This mortal head, the appearance of a mortal head wound, he will fall to the ground and he will appear to be dead. And it says at that point in time that Satan will enter him. And it will be a mock resurrection. And it says the world will marvel at his recovery. But one of the ways to spy him out is that he'll have a withered arm and a blind right eye. Zechariah tells you. Zechariah calls him the idle shepherd. Very interesting. Isn't that kind of like, don't you kind of feel like Inspector Clouseau or, not Clouseau, but Sherlock Holmes maybe. Wow. It's a little tip. Well, we'll be out of here. We'll be in heaven watching this thing. But Jesus warned us about this guy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that's in Jerusalem, a temple, which they're getting ready to build. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. So we better understand it. He says, for then there will be great tribulation such as never been nor ever shall be. The great tribulation. The Antichrist, this guy, is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. Hey, that's what Paul's telling this little church right here. He says he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God. I find it extremely stimulating that the gospels that are fake, that are engulfing the earth today, of the New Age movement and others, they all have the same message. You can be a God. We've touched on it the last couple of weeks. You can be a God. This guy's going to say he is God. But if you keep reading through your Bible, the whole world goes after him. They must agree with him. He must be God. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I don't know how this applies to my life. Well, if the rapture happens any second, it will really apply to your life. And if the rapture doesn't happen any second, it really does apply to your life because you need to make a decision about these things. Paul is telling us about the future. And the decision you make now makes eternal consequences reality for you. Right now. And we're going to see how painfully true this is before we end here this morning. He stands in the temple and shows himself, or sits in the temple and shows himself that he's God to the world. And the amazing thing about verse 4 is Jesus, in Matthew 24, when he expounds on this, Jesus and the disciples consider this to be common knowledge about the abomination of desolation. And you and I will not know it, people, if you haven't read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. What is it? Listen, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after they build the temple in Jerusalem, which they've got the blueprints for, and they've got all the tools ready, they're done. The priest robes are ready. They're training 400 priests in Hebrew right now. They've got all the implements. It's all done. They're waiting to build the temple. When that thing's erected and the Antichrist goes in there and does his thing, listen, that will be the desecration of the temple. The abomination of desolation, and it is what? It is when this man stands in the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God. He's going to be the imposter. Will the real Antichrist please stand up? Jesus says, yeah, he's going to stand up in Matthew 24, and he's going to stand right in the holy place. And he's going to declare himself to be God. CNN will be there. Because the world, it says, will begin to worship him. When in the history of this book that you hold in your lap, that of the New Testament alone, 2,000 years ago, when in human history could somebody stand in Jerusalem and proclaim themselves to be God and the whole world would see it? How could we be so closely connected? But through technology, and it's recent technology. How is it that we can have a problem in, what was it, Portland or somewhere yesterday, and 5 western states of America goes down? Power outages from El Paso to San Diego to Vancouver, British Columbia? Technology. It's a blessing when it works. Friday morning, was it Friday? I don't remember. It's Thursday, we come home. Thursday, we come home and there's no water on at the house. What is this? What is this, some kind of a joke? Well, somebody put the little keystroke, wrong number, wrong address in the computer at the city and it shut our water off. Well, we praise the Lord it was on Thursday because they had it back on Friday morning. But what if it would have been on Friday? They wouldn't have had it until Monday because of a little technological keystroke problem. Some guy is going to stand in the temple and declare himself to be God. Now, listen, this is a weird thing because Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. He is going to have this man, and Satan's going to be behind the scenes of this man, looking out through the window of his eyes like a pervert, getting all turned on over the worship that is offered to this man, and Satan will be behind this man and inside this man going, oh, goody, oh, what they really are worshiping is me. And he's just dying to show his face because he really wants worship bad. And so there's this incredible man, the Antichrist, speaking and doing all that he does. Daniel even tells you about him. He's a little kind of a stout, plump guy with a big mouth, and he speaks great words. He's a great orator. And he's talking, he's moving, and back behind him, it's like a little Pinocchio thing. Satan's going, yes! Getting his jollies as an imposter. Jesus said in John 5:43, a very tragic verse, Jesus was rejected or being rejected by the people at that point. And Jesus says, you know, I've come in my Father's name and you don't even receive me. But if another one comes in his own name, him you will receive. And that was a reference to the Antichrist. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Come on, you guys, straighten up. It's okay. You're not in the trib. Now look at verse 6. From verses 6 to 9, we see the Holy Spirit at work today. Thank God today. Listen to this. He says, and now, I mean, listen, you guys, you know now, presently, right now, you know what restrains or what's restraining that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. You know what's holding him back. Isn't that amazing, you guys? According to the Bible, something is holding the Antichrist back. It's not a something. It's a he. Verse 7 says, for the ministry of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, the Holy Spirit, it's a personal pronoun, he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Can everybody put a circle around the way? Out of the way. How many people have you heard arguing against the pre-tribulation view, which means that Jesus is coming before the tribulation period for the church? How many people have you heard say, you can't believe that view because if the Holy Spirit is taken off the earth, people can't be saved, so it can't happen. That's not what the Bible teaches. This word out of the way is the word out of the middle. He will be taken out of the middle. Let me ask you something. Out of the middle of what? What does Jesus walk in the middle of? The church. Good. Revelation. The word means that he'll be taken out of the middle. Is Jesus or is the Holy Spirit ever going to leave the church? No, it's impossible. What happens is, this verse can also be rendered to step aside. The Holy Spirit is going to step aside. At what point in time? Well, at some point in time when the Antichrist is revealed. In fact, that's how he is revealed. The Holy Spirit steps aside and the Antichrist is revealed. Where's the church? The church is no longer in need of the work of the Holy Spirit upon the earth like we are now because we will be deposited into heaven or in the atmosphere into the arms of Christ in the great rapture. Just like it was for Isaac and for Rebekah. Eliezer, a guy who's not named in the Bible, whose name means comforter, by the way, he's not mentioned in the story, but what he does is gives gifts to this Gentile bride. He takes the Gentile bride to the meeting place of the son of Abraham named Isaac, and he is in the field, which is a symbol of the world. And she meets him after been given gifts, by the way, by Eliezer, the Comforter, Holy Spirit. And it is Isaac taking Rebekah, and Eliezer is simply the one who introduces them. The Holy Spirit will introduce us to Jesus Christ in the atmosphere, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18. And from that moment, he will, of course, because he's everywhere, the Holy Spirit is, will step aside on the earth. He'll be on the earth. Many people will be getting saved. If you read the book of Revelation, you know that. But he will step aside regarding his restraining of evil. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has been given that he will convict the world of sin and of lawlessness and of judgment. There's coming a day when the Holy Spirit will stand aside. And people, if you think it's bad now, it is nothing. The Bible says that the world will go nuts when the Holy Spirit stands aside and evil does its thing. And right now, the Lord miraculously is holding back evil because the Holy Spirit is in the midst of the church and the Holy Spirit, through His people, the salt of the earth, is holding down the lid. And that's an amazing thing. Quickly, and we need to move quickly on this. He says, verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. That's the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. I love it, and I bet it's bad. Can you imagine? With the word of his mouth. He's running around, this little Antichrist guy. I'm God, I'm God, I'm God, everybody, I'm God. And Jesus shows up and says, not. And it's just, he's gone. The Lord will consume, destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. All deception, people. All deception. You and I do not know what that means. It's never been seen before. Verse 10. With all unrighteousness, deception among those who are perishing or who perish. Because, listen, they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they will believe the lie. Why? That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm going to share something with you that is going to absolutely unnerve you and startle you. And I want you guys to honestly, Acts 17:11, don't believe anything that I'm going to tell you from this moment on. I want you to find it out for yourself. I'm going to go against some good friends of mine right now. I'm going to go against some great commentaries. And every one of my buddies who I've talked to them about on this one, and every commentary I've looked at, barring none, has given an explanation. They just glaze right over it. Are you ready for this? Everybody awake? Wake him up. He's next to you now. Get him going. This is not good. It says in verse 11, for this reason God will send them, circle them, strong delusion. God will send them a stupid pill. It's sent from God. Ooh, do we have a bad God? No. Listen carefully, please. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie or the lie. It is the lie, and most scholars, and I agree with them, believe that the lie is that you can, like the Antichrist, be God or be the ruler, at least, of your life. That they all may be condemned, circle they and them. Hopefully it's not you. They will be condemned. Why? Why? Because God's bad? No, because they didn't believe the truth. But they had pleasure in their unrighteousness. Listen to this. And we'll be done here. It says in verse 10 that with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's all in the past tense, people. It means they had the chance to get saved and they didn't. Here's the punchline. Here's the time to get concerned. Do you right now at 9 o'clock this morning have the chance to get saved? Yes. If you refuse today, this is pure Bible now, this is not Jack. If you refuse to get saved today and the rapture happens, these passages here tell us that you will not be able to believe later. Have you ever had people say, well, you know what, Jack, you're such a knucklehead about this stuff. I'll make my decision after the rapture. I've got great friends who are pastoring churches that say, listen, there's going to be people who are rejecting the gospel now, but they'll accept the gospel after the rapture. Impossible. How do you know? Right here it says so. But Jack, I thought zillions of people come to faith in Christ during the tribulation. Yes, they do. But those who have the chance to receive the gospel now will not. How do you know? What's your proof text? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. God will send you strong delusion because you would not believe the truth. Well, I'll wait to see how it turns out. I'll see if you're telling the truth and see if this Antichrist shows up. God will send you, because of your unbelief and your rebellion, absolute delusion. Because you won't believe. Isn't that serious? Well, I'll wait and see. You will wait and you will be blind. God will blind you. Because you refused His offer. And people, that is the meaning. When Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, He says to them, unless you believe that ego eimi, unless you believe I am, Exodus chapter 3, God, I am, God's name, God's attribute. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Well, I think Jesus is a great prophet. You're going to die in your sins. I think Jesus is a great enlightened one. You will die in your sins. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, Savior, Son of God, the only way, truth, and the life. And this portion of Scripture says that those people will be sent a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, that right now, if I told you what the lie is, you would say, I don't believe in that. But the moment after the rapture happens and you miss your opportunity, you will believe in it because you will be given strong delusion. You're not going to come to faith. If you are hearing this message right now by tape, radio, who knows how, sitting in the sanctuary, you will not have, if you're hearing it now, a second chance. If you disagree with that, go ahead and read 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. There's no other explanation. And that is startling. Let's pray. Lord, it is serious, serious questions and commands and issues before us. We can't play. You didn't play on the cross. You didn't get up there and play marbles on that cross beam up there. When you spoke about hell more than anybody on earth, it's because you know all about it and you want no one there. You tell us through your word that we are to be watching and ready, and if we're not, we can be deceived and be put to sleep by a demonic anesthesia. Are we ready to meet you today? None of us are perfect. We understand that. But Lord, is our heart's desire to walk with you and to know you, to be ready? Father, for those here this morning, they don't know. They're not sure. And while we're even praying right now, and I know this message, the last couple weeks have been kind of hot stuff here. It's the scripture. What are you going to do with it? It's truth. You don't have to go through this stuff that's coming on the earth. In fact, why wait? You can be blessed now by receiving Jesus Christ and have Him in your life now to get you through what's going on. But don't die today. Don't die. There's no second chance. The Bible says now's the time. So don't die today, okay? Can you keep yourself alive? And don't miss the rapture, because you'll be deceived. If you want to have those things no longer a part of your concern, you need to receive Jesus Christ now. And will you do that right now? Will you, by raising your hand this morning, just by raising your hand, you're saying, I'm a sinner, I need Him to save me, and I want to be filled with His Holy Spirit. I want to have His life in me, and I want to walk after God. Is that you this morning? Why don't you raise your hand wherever you're at today? People are praying, nobody's looking around. I'll see your hand, and I'll pray for you. But you can put your hand up. And by doing that, God sees your hearts. God bless you. God sees your heart. Anyone else? God sees your heart. Your hand goes up, not because of your muscle reaction, but because of your will. You're saying, I want Jesus. God bless you in the back, too. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. Man, I don't want to miss this stuff. I'm going to walk after Him. Anyone else to join these this morning? My goodness, isn't it amazing? You're voting right now for Jesus or for not? Not for Him. You're voting. Yes, no. God bless you too then, right next to the other one. Praise the Lord. And you. I was waiting for you. God bless you. You're voting for Jesus Christ right now today. Awesome. Christians, help these along in this prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, but what you believe in your heart does as you trust Christ. Those of you with your hands raised, or you raised your hand, brothers and sisters, pray out loud with these and help them along in the kingdom right now. Those of you who raised your hands, pray this prayer out loud right now. God will hear you. Lord Jesus, I receive you today. I ask you to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. Cleanse me. Restore me. Give me your life. Give me your hope. Lord God, today, I dedicate my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me my sins right now and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.